Amen. The thought that I'd like you to take with you from that hymn is found at the end of verse 4. He from death to life hath brought me, Son of God, with him to be. This is the hope of the Christian. That's the theme which we want to consider tonight in the preaching of God's word, which we'll come to now. So if you could open your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 6, where we read earlier. We'll consider a few verses there together. Hebrews chapter 6, looking especially at verses 18 to 20. Let's read those three verses together, and then we'll have a word of prayer. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Amen. And God bless his word. Just bow your heads with me in a moment of prayer, please. Father in heaven, as we come to the preaching of your holy word, we again confess that this task is beyond the ability of any man. And Lord, I need the help of the Holy Spirit as I come now to present the message that you have given. Lord, I pray that you would help me to speak clearly, to speak with courage, to speak of my Savior and what he has done. That he is the only one to whom sinners must come for salvation. And that in him we have hope. And only in him can hope be found. I pray that you would help preacher and hearer, and that the word of God would be understood, and that the name of the Lord would be lifted up. In Jesus' name, amen. Alex Ferguson, the famous football manager, is renowned for developing great strength of character in the men who played under him. Now, I think we can all agree on that, whether or not you are a fan of the team that he managed. Because like Ferguson himself, his squad generally seemed to have determination to never give up, believing that no matter how little time was left on the clock, whether it was the 93rd or 94th, 95th minute, they were still capable of going and scoring a goal. And Ferguson said in a recent TV interview, "I think all my teams had perseverance. They never gave in." And so you and I might be able to say that he instilled the quality of hope in those men. He taught them to be hopeful and to hope that they would go and score. And when this man, Alex Ferguson, was questioned about his upbringing and how it is he became to be a good manager and such a skillful manager of men, he credited his childhood upbringing. And there was one part of his upbringing which perhaps some of you have in common with him, and that was his attendance at the Boys' Brigade. And in that interview, the interviewer reminded him of the Boys' Brigade hymn. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. And you could see the recognition in Alex Ferguson's eyes. And he finished that chorus, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Now, I'm telling you this by way of introduction and illustration, because when I watched that clip, here was a man on in years, but able to remember the words of a hymn that simply bring the message of the gospel. And he could remember it like that. It hadn't left him. Here was a man who, because of a good upbringing, yes, a good family, who learned good habits, a good work ethic, was able to teach that to other people and was able to instill in them the quality of determination and of hopefulness. But he's singing words which are drawn from Hebrews 6:19, and yet he knows nothing about what it means. He's singing about the hope which Christians have without ever experiencing that hope for himself. And so as I watched that, I felt sad for that man, in spite of all his privileges and his achievements and the recognition which he enjoys. He is a man without hope. Now, I might be speaking to somebody in the meeting tonight. Perhaps you're like Alex Ferguson in that you had a good upbringing. You were brought up by people who have a heritage which has gospel blessing. whether it was the Boys Brigade or whether it was this church or some other, whether it was a mother, a father, a grandparent, you were taught the gospel. You know the words of that hymn. I could give you the first two or three words and you would finish it off, just like Alex Ferguson could. But you don't know what it means. You don't actually have hope. You see, there is only one true hope in this world. It's all very well being a determined man. It's all very well being set on your goals. But Christian hope is not simply determination. Christian hope is founded on an unshakable and unchangeable foundation. That unchangeable is what that word immutable means. Verse 18, that by two immutable things, unchangeable things. This is the basis of Christian hope. It is founded on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about your upbringing. It's not about how hard you work. It's all about Jesus Christ. In him alone there is hope. And I don't know who it is I'm speaking to tonight, what your background is. But there are people out there who think there is no hope. It's more commonly seen in the younger generations in our province. They're brought up in a consumerist world, in a very selfish environment. They're brought up in a world that is rejecting God. They are not put under any limitations by their parents. Their upbringing is completely removed from perhaps what you had or what Alex Ferguson had. Discipline. Boundaries. Young people now are let to do whatever they want. But very quickly we find them realizing that all the appetites and all the lusts of the flesh and the indulging of those lusts still leaves them without hope. And we know where that leads. Young people who have no hope. And so various ages and various different upbringings who in common don't have Jesus Christ all end up having no hope. This is a problem. This is the problem that is based on man's natural state as a sinner. So men and women, young people tonight, you, if you're unsaved tonight, you need hope. And there's only one place where that can be found. Let me look at this text with you under the heading of hope and anchor for the soul. First of all, we see that hope is presented. It's presented because in verse 18, the apostle writes, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. What does hope mean? The word means to anticipate with pleasure. It means to have expectation or to have confidence. And the hope is set before. It's an object. It's presented to you and I tonight as we read the scriptures. It was presented to the writer of scripture. This hope is presented. And that tells us that it's not something that comes from within us, but it's something that comes from without. It's not a production of our effort, of our best ideas, but it's something that originates outside of mankind. And that's why it is set before us. What is the hope that the Bible speaks of? It's the hope of eternal life offered in the gospel. I want you to turn with me to a passage that will help us to understand this better. It's Ephesians chapter 2. We are considering the hope of eternal life. Ephesians 2 teaches us that it is God's gift to us. Ephesians chapter 2, let's read at verse 12. Speaking of those who were outside of Christ, who were unsaved. Verse 12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. This evening, sinner, if you are without Christ, the Bible is telling you, not me, not any person in this room. The Bible, God is telling you that if you're without Christ, you have no hope. Read on, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. Note the contrast. Note what happens, what a person can say when they are in Christ, they can say they have hope, that they have peace. This is the change that comes about when a person calls upon Jesus Christ for salvation and he becomes their Savior. That person now has hope. Not just a nebulous hope, not the I think I'm going to do well enough. I'll say enough prayers. I'll give enough into the church so that maybe I'll get into heaven one day. No, the hope of the gospel, the hope of eternal life offered in Jesus Christ is concrete and absolute, and it's certain. Jesus Christ is a savior from all sin. He's a savior who keeps his people and will bring them to glory with him one day. That's the hope which we speak of, the hope of eternal life. Look with me at verse 17. As we think about hope being presented, we find that Jesus Christ himself presented that hope. Verse 17 says, "And came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh." Jesus Christ was the greatest teacher and preacher that ever lived. And he preached the gospel to them that were afar off and to them that were nigh. That refers to the Gentile and the Jew, two ethnic groups. And in those two groupings, we have the entirety of the human race. Jesus Christ presented hope, the message of the gospel, to all kinds of men. As we were considering this morning, that's our mandate, to go and to preach the gospel to the whole world in the same way that Jesus Christ did. He presented hope to them which were far off and to them which were nigh. And so we've seen that hope is presented, and we've seen that only those who are in Jesus Christ can have true hope of eternal life. But it's clear that as we are reading in our text tonight, that the writer is speaking of himself, and he's speaking of those who have already fled for refuge. We need to keep that in mind because that's the context of the passage. Verse 18 says, "Who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us." And so we find that those who have had hope presented to them have fled for refuge, have run. The picture there is a reminder of those who ran to the cities of refuge in the Old Testament. And they would run in and they would lay hold on the horns of the altar. And this is the language we find in verse 18. "Who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us." This is what believers have done. And sinner, this is what you need to do. As our text presents this, we see hope presented, and now we are seeing hope possessed. Because this is not a nebulous hope. It can be possessed. It's real. And you can have it. You can truly have the hope of eternal life. It is real. Look with me at hope that is possessed. Verse 18 says, "to lay hold upon." And the thought in these words is of holding fast. Holding fast. You can't hold something that's not real. It's real hope. Verse 19 says, "which hope we have." And this is telling us that those who formerly had no hope, as Ephesians 2 taught us, now have this hope. They possess it. Perhaps you come to church and you think that this is not real, what is preached about all the time. You maybe think that it's a bit of a fairy story and it's for people who are weak in the head. It's a very common theory. But this is real. Sin is real. Death is real. But Jesus Christ is real. He's a real savior from real sin, and he offers to you and presents to you in his word real hope. Real hope of eternal life. John Gill, the commentator, wrote on verse 18 and said about Jesus Christ these words: "He is set before us to be laid hold on, which intends an act of faith, which grace lays hold on the person, blood, and righteousness of Christ." And the key idea in that quote is to lay hold on Christ. To lay hold on Jesus Christ. How can you lay hold on Jesus Christ? By faith. By faith. Wherefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Let's consider the analogy, just as we think about hope that is possessed. Look at the analogy that Scripture gives us, this picture of an anchor. The analogy that's put before us is of the world being like a sea or like an ocean. And on that ocean we have the believer, you or I, who are trusting in Jesus Christ, and we're like a ship. The harbor to which we hope to reach one day is heaven. But the anchor that leads us towards our eventual home is hope. And the rock of anchorage, the thing to which our anchor is fixed, is Jesus Christ. And in order for an anchor to function, It has to be fixed at both ends. It has to be anchored on something. As the hymn puts it, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love. It's fixed on Christ, this anchor of hope. It's fixed on Him. But it's joined to our hearts. It goes out of our hearts and is exercised by faith. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 8 says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation." This is something to which the believer has access. As we exercise faith, as we consider the Word of God and read it and pray over it, and the Lord gives us faith to believe, and as we exercise that faith, we are made hopeful. As we think about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Unbeliever tonight, this is something that you simply don't have. As I said at the start, you might have been coming here for years. You don't know what it is to have true hope within your heart. I would like to ask you, if I was talking to you one-on-one, what is your hope for the future? What is your hope for eternity? Do you really expect to be brought into heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ? And what is that based on? Because the Bible's telling us that without Christ, there's no hope. But you know from the life of believers, and you know from the testimony of Scripture, that hope can be possessed. And so this is what I'm trying to set before you tonight, so that you would lay hold by faith upon Jesus Christ, who is our hope. In the final place, I want to look at the quality of this hope, as we consider hope that is presented and hope that is possessed, but also hope that is persevering, because this is, in my opinion, truly glorious. The way the hope is described in our text, look at verse 19, "which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil." What does the word "sure" mean? It means that something is secure. It means that it is certain. It has the ability to withstand outward pressure. And then we have that word "steadfast." And it refers to something that has inherent or inward stability. It's stable. It's firm. Such qualities are not to be found in this world anywhere else, except in the message of the gospel, except in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a very changing and changeable world. Over each generation, there is constant change. And especially over the last few generations, our culture, the way our lives are conducted, have changed perhaps more than ever before in the history of human civilization. What hasn't changed is God and His Word. And that's why that little word, immutable, well, it's not little, it's quite big, 18, verse 18, "that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation." That's why that word is so important, because it means unchangeable. And that's the quality of Christian hope. It's fastened to the rock which cannot move. And that speaks to us of the immutability of God. Look at verse 14 in Hebrews 6. We read, saying, "Surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee." Verse 16, "For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation." God made a promise to Abraham, the father of the faithful, and he swore by himself, because there is no one greater. In courtrooms, men swear on the Bible. But God can swear on nothing greater than Himself. And so He swore by Himself to give Abraham confidence and to give you and I, believer, a strong consolation. And this idea of immutability or unchangeability is brought to us again and again in the Scripture. And it's a wonderful truth. It's one that blesses my heart to think that God is unchangeable. It's in the Catechism. We learn it just as little children. Maybe I speak to one who learned the Catechism as a child. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable. And that unchangeable God offers to you the promise of eternal life and the hope of eternal life founded on his unchangeable word. And yet you haven't laid hold on that hope that is presented. My counsel to you tonight on the authority of God's word is that you must. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You must lay hold on this hope. You need this anchor for your soul. Otherwise, you're left drifting aimlessly across the seas of life. And your eventual home is not going to be the shore of heaven. It's not going to be the harbor where you'll be brought in safe. Your eventual destination will be hell without Christ for all eternity. Because you have no hope, because you haven't got him. But we're thinking about the immutability of God and the unchangeableness of this promise. This is hope which perseveres because it is sure and steadfast, just as the Lord who gives it. As we come towards a close, I want to look and just borrow that line from the hymn, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love. Jesus Christ is the one to whom the hope anchor is fixed. It's grounded on the rock, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 19 and read down into verse 20. Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Christ, our great high priest, Christ, our mediator, exercises that office of the priest. He carries out a continual ministry, a continual intercession where he prays for his own. And this is the Father's will which hath sent him, that of all which he hath given to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he should lose nothing. And so he prays, and he ever lives, and he prays, and he has entered for us, into that which is within the veil. He has entered there for us, our text says. And our hope is grounded on him, upon his person and upon his work. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. My hope rests on him. The hope of every true Christian rests only on the Lord Jesus Christ, not on anything else, not on ourselves. Not on anything we've done, not on our upbringing, not on the name Free Presbyterian Church. Nothing but Jesus Christ. He's the only anchor, ultimately, for the soul. Our hope rests upon him. And tonight, as we come towards a close, I trust, unbeliever, you have seen that there is hope. Some people leave this world thinking that there is not. But the message of the gospel is good news, because there is hope for sinners. There is deliverance from sin. And it's all to be found in Jesus Christ. Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul. The promise of God to all those who believe is eternal life in Jesus Christ. Come and believe on Jesus Christ this evening. And have hope. Have your soul anchored by hope which rests upon him. And which will carry you through all the storms of life and bring you home safe to heaven. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we ask that what has been of thyself will be, Lord, remembered and impressed upon the heart, and that which is of man will be forgotten. We ask that the word of God would have free course, that souls will be challenged tonight with their hopelessness, with the fact that they are outside Christ, and regardless of any of the baggage of life and associations and church attendance, if they haven't got Christ, they haven't got hope. And Lord, I pray you would impress this on hearts tonight, and that you would bring them into the family and fold of God. I pray, Lord, that you would save young and old, long attenders, new visitors, some soul, Lord, tonight who hasn't got hope, perhaps who's looking for hope, looking for answers. We thank you, Lord, that the answer is always Jesus Christ. He is my everything. He is my all. And we say, Lord, to sinners tonight, now what about you? Father, we ask that you would do a work for your own name's sake, that you would, in coming days, bring your people again into God's house to worship you together. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.